Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And we're going to read together verses 1 through 4. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Believe God and Live. Believe God and Live. We're going to see in the book of Acts, and we're also going to see a story as we get to those scriptures on people that believe God with all their heart. And when you believe God with all your heart, God does something miraculous through you and in you. And one of the words, how many of you heard the word conviction before? I was sharing this with a friend. We had lunch yesterday. And the only thing that he could relate the word conviction is every time he went to prison, he got convicted of a crime. Well, in the Word of God, in the Greek, that word means something totally different. And we're going to look at that in a moment. And so, are you there in the book of Acts? Let's all read together verses 1 through 4. And it reads, Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Being greatly disturbed, they taught the people and preached in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already what? Evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about what? 5,000. How would you love to share the gospel and 5,000 people got saved? And they were basically being led away to captivity. They preached the gospel. They stood on what they believed. And as they were being hauled away to prison, 5,000 souls got saved. Praise God. That's when you know the anointing of God, the power of God is upon your life. And we're going to see through this lesson this morning that God is showing us a better way, a way that we can believe without any interference of the culture of the day that we live in, that we would hold on to the Word of God, and that we would believe what the Word says to believe in. See, there's a lot of people that they read the Word on the surface, but it's never taken root in their hearts to believe what it says. And so, let's look at this for a moment. As Christians, we should have some godly convictions that define who we are and determine our lifestyle and choices. Can I get amen? Oh, yes. And so we may claim, saints of God, that our convictions are a private matter. You know, there are some folks that could be in the public, but they won't mention Jesus one time. But in reality, saints of God, they are constantly on display for all to see. Why? Because we live them out each day with our words and with all of our actions. That's right. Look what it says right here. We're gonna start looking at the word conviction, conviction, conviction. And then we're going to explain what it means. It doesn't mean that you got convicted for a crime. No. We're going to see it in a different scope, in a different vision, in a different way, through a different lens. Okay, so in John 16:8, the Word of God reads, And he, when he comes, who's he when he comes? The Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And so, how many believe that before the fall of Adam and Eve, it was heavenly bliss? It was paradise. But because of their transgression, the Bible says sin has entered into the world. And because sin has entered into the world, death has entered into the world. And this is why we live to a certain age and then we must go back to the ground. It's the law of sin still on this planet. And until Jesus comes and renovates it and changes it, we are waiting out the time that Jesus will come and restore all things. He's going to make this planet without sin for 1,000 years during the millennial reign. And we will have the new bodies. Can I get any? How many can't wait for that new body? Woo, I can't wait for that new body. Praise God, I can throw away all the pills from the doctor. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Oh, some of you are just so young. Well, what pill are you talking about? Yeah, when you get to 62, all of a sudden things start creaking. Huh? Things start aching. Look what it says here in this word right here. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in the power and the Holy Spirit and with full what? Conviction. Wow. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. In other words, the apostles, they were immovable. The apostles believed the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what? Nothing shook their faith. Trial, tribulation came their way. They stood firm. They stood steadfast. Why? Because they had a conviction, meaning they had an earnest desire to stay in the will of God. And that's what God is asking all of us, to just stand and stay in the center of God's will. And He will take care of all the things that surround your life. We're all going through some things in life. I hope you know that. None of us are immune to tribulations, to trials, to setbacks. But God is saying, be steadfast. Can I get amen? Amen. Stay strong in the power of His might, and He will see you through. Can I get amen? Yes, He will. I believe God for 32 years that He has kept me. He has kept me through trials and tribulations, through slanders and through physical ailments and afflictions and people coming and going. People saying, I love you. Some people saying, I hate you. And man, I've been through it. I've seen it all. But yet I'm holding on to Jesus. Can I get amen? I'm holding on to the Lord because He will never let me go. You know, we may let go of God, but He won't let us go. Can I get amen? Look what it says right here in Romans 14:22. The faith which you have as your own what? Conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, when you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and when you lean not to your own understanding and acknowledge him in all your ways, he will then direct your path. That's right. You know, it's very simple mathematics. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. There's only two commandments now that God says to do, and all the law of God hinges on those two. It's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commandments. Can I get amen? Listen, when you love God, guess what? It becomes a relationship, a love affair with him. It's not about do's and don'ts. I used to go to churches, do's and don'ts, the checkoff list, you know, and if you don't fit that mold, they think you backslidden and you're not saved. What? Wait a minute, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I'm honoring God. I love God. That's man's way, but God says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Can I get an amen? Man, I'll tell you, if God be for you, who could be against you? Praise God. Look at this next verse of scripture right here in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. This is in the Living Translation. I know in the King James it has a different connotation, but the convictions of things not seen. Let me just say this. For those of you that maybe every now and then will take the trolley somewhere. Maybe you don't want to fight downtown when you go to a Padre game, so you take the trolley in, right? Well, if the trolley says it's coming there at 5:30, You expect it to show up at 5:30, right? So you're there, believe it or not, you're there in faith. I believe it says 5:30, I'm here. And here it comes. It comes right on time, right? Well, you got to believe God the same way of what he said about your life. You know, we're like this. Man, I'm waiting. When is this trial going to be over? I'm here to let you know there's no clocks in heaven. Aren't you so blessed? We have clocks here on earth because we're still living in a fallen world. But man, when we get up into glory, hallelujah, there will be no clocks on the wall. Can I get amen? You'll be able to endure a worship service. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I go, man, I got to go home now. Go home to where? Saints, God has given us standards and principles from his word. Why? What is it for? To protect us and to guide each and every one of us. It's to motivate us and to help us lead godly lives. How many of you want to lead a godly life? Can I get amen? All right. Praise God. And so since our convictions have such a powerful influence, we must examine them to see whether or not, saints, that they contribute to a righteous accordance of God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We need to understand, am I walking in your will, Lord, or am I walking in the flesh? It's easy to walk in the flesh and be deceived. Why? Because our flesh will deceive us. But if we're walking according to the precepts of God, we know we're on the right track. Now, when Peter and John were thrown into jail for healing a lame man and warned not to speak or teach, they said, don't you teach, don't you speak in the name of Jesus. What? That's the saving name. Well, they had a conviction. They had an assurance. They were being hauled away to prison, and they saw people getting saved. But I want us to look at this story. This story that's coming up, but I want you to see this for right now. It's found in the book of Acts chapter 4. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go there. But Peter and John answered and said, this is about the lame man that they healed, that God healed through them. How many of you had laid hands on someone and watched God do a miracle? Okay, one. Okay, can I see more hands? I know God uses you, right? That's right. Praise God. Look at this. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you or more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You see, when God has come into your life, you cannot but share the grace of God. In other words, you're not going to button up your mouth. When God comes in your life, can I get amen? You're going to let somebody know. I know I did. And they thought, man, what is he on now? You know what I tell them? I'm high on the Most High.
That's right.
Can I get amen? Look at this. Look at verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. So in other words, they had these persecutors, they had these slanderers, they had these religious folks, they had put them in check. Why? Because they couldn't explain, man, that man was lame. In other words, he was basically a paraplegic. And they touched him and healed him. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Wow. Isn't that a blessing? And so, saints, I want us now to get a clear understanding of conviction. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's go here. Number one, a guilty verdict handed down in a court as in a conviction for a crime. Okay, that's what I talked about yesterday with my friend. That's the only conviction that he understood. Praise God, he got saved. But he said, man, Pastor Fina, I was always running from the po-po. Okay, police. Number two, a firmly held belief, as in the certainty that our Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrected Son of God and the only way to heaven. Did you catch that? That is the conviction that you and I have. that Jesus died and rose again, and that he lives forever in our hearts. Can I get an amen? And he's coming back for a church that's looking for his return. He's not looking for those who are playing church. He's looking for the church that is the church. Can I get an amen? The born-again church, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, heaven-bound and now held to shun. Look at number three. A feeling of guilt given by the Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's why he came. You see, here's the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I go away, but the Comforter will come. And he will convict the world of sin and judgment. So when the Holy Spirit comes, in which he has come now, 2,000 years now, he's been here, he exposes our heart to see what we are really about. He shows us things that we didn't see. How many of you know people that are not saved and they don't see their sin? How many? Oh. Prove I'm a sinner. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. So they weigh out their good and their bad. I'm a good person. But good doesn't get you in. How many believe that good doesn't get you in? No, there has to be a mind change. There has to be a heart of repentance. We have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out for forgiveness, because the Holy Spirit came to convict the world of sin and judgment. This is what I love about God, that the Holy Spirit's here, it's been poured out, and all the people around this world who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's reaching out to them, but he's also pointing out their sin. And aren't you so blessed that he doesn't stamp them out like a cucaracho? Oh, a roach? That's what that means. God's grace. God's mercy, God's patient. Aren't you so blessed that he was patient with you? My first 30 years, I was living a life of debauchery. And yet, he still saw something that I never saw. You know what he saw? He saw that once I learned who he was, that I would embrace him. That I would love him the rest of my life. He saw that before I saw that. Can I get an amen? He saw something in you that he knew that down the road, he's going to use you mightily. He's going to use you for his glory. You see, he knows he's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning and the end. So if he knows the beginning and the end, that means he's seen your life played out already. And so he comes in to our realm and he sets up camp in our heart by faith. He gives us a mind to be saved, the heart of repentance. He's the one that turns our heart toward him. Because if he doesn't touch you, you're going to remain in your sin. Can I get amen? He comes and he quickens you. And all of a sudden, you see the cross and you run to the cross and you embrace the cross. And from that moment on, you are forever his. Can I get amen? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank you, God. And so let's go back to the word right here. Look at what it says. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Praise God. And so saints, the convictions we are considering are those that arise from our beliefs as Christians. They should have a limiting effect on our behavior and may cause us discomfort when we have to take a stand in the midst of a crowd. Have you ever been to one of your house parties, your family's gatherings, and you know that you're probably the only one maybe in that room that's saved? Are you bold enough to share the gospel? Are you bold enough to say, to God be the glory? Let me share with you all what God did in my life. Let me show you that I was headed to hell in a handbasket and that Jesus came and rescued my life. Listen. A lot of people don't know why Jesus came. They have never read the Bible. Some of them have never even entered into a church building. But God has saved you for such a time as this. To let them all know about his grace, about his glory. Can I get amen? Look at this. Let's look at this up here. The difference between convictions and preferences. We're going to break this down. See, we can prefer things that are not part of the will of God. But convictions as a Christian, we're going to hold on. We're going to hold on to God's promises. We're going to hold on to God's precepts. We're going to hold on to God's judgments. Because he will judge. Oh, yes, he will. And so we're going to look at first, let's break down preferences. Preferences are changeable and may vary throughout our lifetimes. Things change in our life. I get that. How many incidences have you had since you've been a Christian? Oh, come on. We'd be here all day and all night. Oh, God, see me through this, God. Help me through that, God. Oh, God, I need you right now, right? And a lot of times we have preferences instead of convictions. See, they are beliefs we hold at present, but we could be convinced to believe something else if it seems more beneficial. See, when it becomes more beneficial, that means, you know what? Okay, I know what you said, God, but you know what? I'm going to have a Burger King life right now. I'm going to have a Burger King moment having it my way. We fall in those traps, huh? Oh, I know what your word says, God, but you know what? I'm going to do it this time my way. And God says, okay, go ahead. I just added another 4 months to that. Lord, help us. Help us, Jesus. You see, my friends, preferences don't provide a foundation for life because they depend on circumstances. I want you to catch this. And it can be altered if something better is offered. And are easily abandoned in the face of temptation. So if something really tempts you at that moment, okay. Whoa, does that happen to you? We can all fall in that trap. Oh, nobody's immune to temptation. Can I get amen? We can all fall into that trap. Old Slewfoot wants to trap us. And then guess what? When we fall in the trap, you know what he does? The Bible says in the book of Revelation, he is the accuser of the brethren. He says, oh, look at so-and-so. I thought they were saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, come on. Huh? Old Slewfoot's up there. Look, look, look. And you know what? A lot of times we put on that foolish robe. Oh, look at them. They're supposed to be saved. And as you're pointing a finger like that, there's three looking right back at you. Where's your grace? Where's your mercy? Where's your love? Can I get amen? So the word of God comes to edify us, to build us up. Look at what it says in the book of Ephesians. That we should no longer be children, what? Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. See, people want to trick you. They want to dupe you. Look at this. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. 2,000 years ago, they wrote this for us because it still happens today. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is what? The head, Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Now here's another wonderful scripture right here in James 1, 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith. You see, when you come into a situation and you don't understand it and you're trying to figure it out, then go to God's word. Can I get amen? Go to Jesus in your closet room and say, God, I don't understand this right now. Lord, help me. God says, come to him by faith. Let him ask in faith. Would know what? Doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. So in other words, you believe everything you hear. What everyone tells you, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, wait, that person told me to take more of these pills. Well, wait a minute. And you're saying to trust the Lord of God. Oh, God, where do I go? You go to God. You go to God. You go to God. Look at this. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He who is a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. My goodness. Did God really say that? Yes, he did. Yes, I'm, you know what? I'm glad God wrote it and not me. Because by now, you guys are about ready to pick up tomatoes and throw them up here. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. Can I get an amen? Don't, listen. Don't hug. Listen, you know, when you're waiting for that check, don't hug on the mailman that comes and brings your check. Hug on the one who sent it. Can I get an amen? That's the Lord God Almighty, because he owns all the cattle on a thousand hills. Everything belongs to Jesus. Yeah, yeah, you. Oh, yeah, my employer just said that. No, who established the employer? It all comes from God. Now, we're going to look now. That's preferences. Now, let's look at conviction. Conviction. Look at this. A conviction is a solid, immovable belief based on confidence in God's word. Being so thoroughly convinced of its absolute truth that we are willing to take a stand regardless of the consequences. How many of you can honestly say, I'm going to stand for Christ, come what may? But when a trial comes, when a temptation comes, we abandon God. What? Are we like that? No, are we? Come on. I love the sister in the corner. Yes, we are. That's, listen, this is why God put his word there for you and I. That we could learn. That we could learn to be what? Sanctified. That we would lay aside every weight and sin that so easily what? Beset, it beseats us. And press. We need to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Can I get amen? Did you know that there is a prize awaiting for you and I that just stand? Yeah, I know I have flaws. Yeah, I know I have failures. Yeah, I know things come my way. I've been through temptations. I've been through trials, but I'm standing. Can I get amen? How many can say I'm standing? No matter what, come what may, I'm going to stand with you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your family may leave you. Hallelujah. Your boss may fire you. Hallelujah. Your children may leave your life. Can I get amen? But I'm going to stay with Jesus. Can I get amen? We got to stay with the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so the word of God, it motivates us. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved, say that with me. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, what? The work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, what you do for Christ, that's what's going to stand. You could have all the accolades, all the awards. Man, look what I accomplished in life. And guess what? God counts that as rubble. It's what you do for Christ. Winning the lost, praying for the sick, helping the widows, come alongside and raising up children, being part of a Sunday school, doing all those kind of things. Can I get an amen? Amen. Why? Because your heart is sown to God. Your heart is pliable, and you're allowing God to work in your life by his loving hand. He doesn't want to slap you around. He wants to carry you around. Can I get an amen? That's the God I serve. And so convictions shape not only what we believe, but also how we live and even how we die. Are you going to go down with your last breath? My last breath. I love you, Lord. I still love you, God, and boom, into glory. Listen, a quick story. Matter of fact, Yolanda likes to put on Somebody Loves You on YouTube in the morning before we come here. It's Pastor Raul Reese. He shared this. I got to share this because it just came to me right now. He said that a family member came to him and says, please, we have a grandfather who's never served God and he's dying. He's in his last breath right now. Will you come pray for him? So Rowley, sure. He came and he walked into the hospital. The man was hooked up to all the machines, all the monitors, you know, and you could see his whole lifeline on a screen. And he walks up to him. He says, sir, the family asked me to come and pray for you. This is your moment. God has given you one last opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to receive him right now? And Raul Reese said, the man looked at him and started cursing him out. Wow, I never wanted him. I don't need him. And wow. And as soon as he was cursing God right then and there in front of Raul Ruiz, then he went into a violent scream. And he said, "My feet are burning. My legs are burning." And all of a sudden, he slipped away and he dropped right into hell. And Raul Ruiz was like stunned. He never saw someone drop right into hell, rejecting God. My goodness. Listen, God has done everything imaginable for mankind to receive him by faith. He's not asking you to run 100 laps around Sweetwater's football field, which is impossible for all of us in here right now. He's not asking us to do 1,000 push-ups with one hand, which are knuckles. He's just saying, "Come to me by faith. All ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest for your soul." It's by faith. It's simple. Listen, children cannot err in it. The Bible says that children understand that. You know, it's so easy to teach a child about Jesus and they, "Yes, Jesus." And they start telling it, "Jesus." You tell an adult that. Oh, come on. Look what it says in God's word. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And so, my friends, let's look at this. Let's look at this because I want to share this great story out of the Bible. It's a story for you and I that we could glean off it and understand God's grace. But we need to look at characteristics of a person with convictions. Okay? Listen, when you have convictions in your life, God's going to take you a long ways with him. I'm talking about convictions of the Word of God. And so, let's look at this right here. Turn with me to Acts 16. Look at this. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's right here on the Word. Let's read this wonderful story. Why? Because this was Paul and Silas, Paul the apostle and his brother Silas. They were preaching the gospel, and then they were incarcerated. They were chained to one another in prison. Now listen, let me just say this. This was not Donovan's prison that we have here locally. Here, over here at Donovan's prison, they have all the amenities. They got hot and cold running water. They got big screens to watch the Super Bowl. Oh, yes, they do. They got their own toilets. They flush, right? You know, and they get 3 meals a day. I mean, it's almost like they're in a hotel, but they just can't come out to the community, right? But these people that were incarcerated 2,000 years ago, they were chained to one another. They would go bathroom on one another. The stench probably was horrible. It was probably rat infested. They couldn't get up and go shower. But we're going to see how good God is. Let's read this story. "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination," some little girl that was demon possessed, "who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" Look at this, verse 18. "And this she did for many days. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone," "they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities." Someone narked on them. Verse 20. "And they brought them to the magistrates," meaning to the court of law, "and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They're doing great wonders. They're healing people. And yet, to an unbeliever, they're doing awful things. What? And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude, look at this, rose up against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods for healing a girl that was possessed by a devil. Look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes in them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. So now they're in prison. They even have a jailer there watching them. Verse 24. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. So now their feet had shackles on them. And they were shackled together. Look at this. My goodness. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. What? Does your Bible say they were praying? Or were they complaining? Oh, woe is me. Were they saying, oh, man, I don't want to be in here. Uh-uh. Look at their mind. Look at their conviction. But Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I want you to catch this. I don't care what you're going through right now. But if you worship God through your suffering, people around you are going to see the God that lives in you. They're going to see the fragrance of the Holy Spirit in you. No matter how difficult that situation looks like, they're going to see, man, they're going through a whole lot. But yet, all I see is them trusting God. Maybe there's trust for me. Maybe there's something I could glean off. Maybe my situation, there's help. Can I get an amen? Because the Bible says, and the prisoners were listening to them. Look at verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. What? This was a miraculous event. Now look at this. And the keeper of the prison, this is the security guard, awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why? Because he thought maybe he was going to get ambushed or they got away and the law enforcement was going to put him to death for not watching over them. Right? So he wanted to take his life. Now, it gets better. This is God's grace. This is the guy that he was just ordered to watch over them. So the prisoners were listening, and even the security guard was listening to them sing songs in the midst of their persecution. Wow. Look at this. Look at verse 28. But Paul called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light. He ran in and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Look how God flipped the switch. Look how God turned that ugly situation for his glory. So this jailer, who was the security guard, thinking that these guys are going to ambush me. And he fell. Why did he fall on his knees? Because he heard them worshiping God. Their hearts. His heart right there was touched by the Holy Spirit. And look at this. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Look at that. And look at verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of that night, and he washed their stripes. This is the jailer, the prisoner. He's washing their stripes because they were just beaten by rods. And immediately, he and his family were what? Baptized. What? Now, when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God. What a story. Oh, that story is for you and me. No matter what we're going through in life, that if we just stand and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, God. I know I'm going through a hard time right now. I know there's pressure on me. Oh, God, I know things don't seem fair right now. But, God, I'm going to praise you. God, I'm going to glorify you. God, I'm going to magnify you. God, I'm going to bless you in the midst of my trouble right now. And let me just say this. One by one, people will see the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God that's upon your life. And they will be drawn to the cross by faith. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. People want to see a real Christian in this world. They want to see someone going through right now, hallelujah, that's going through hardships and setbacks and financial troubles, relational problems, children on drugs, things of that nature, and they want to see you still glorify God. Hallelujah. Why? Because they need that same hope. Can I get amen? They need that hope too. Hallelujah. And only you can demonstrate that hope. It's only the church that has been risen up from ashes to beauty. Can I get an amen? God delivered us from ashes. We were all ashed out. Oh, yes, we were. And God raised us up. So let's look at this quickly. Let's look at this. Let's look at our sense of purpose. What is the sense of purpose? We know that we're headed and walk in a definite path to get there by pursuing who the Lord Jesus is. And then we have to have what? Faith in God. The strength that enables us to live out our convictions without compromise. That's when we will demonstrate the faith of God. And then we must have courage. How many of you need courage right now? That's right. Courage to stand. Courage to speak. Courage to share. Courage to witness. Courage to testify. Despite of what they may think about you. Can I get amen? And that's when God is going to rise up in your life. And he's going to show you great and mighty things. So, hallelujah, we need to think of the big, we have to have big picture thinking. See, we look at it through a small little tiny iPhone lens. You know, your iPhone that has, you know, you could turn it sideways and you could see a little tiny movie or see videos. We need to have the big picture. Before surrendering our convictions or denying what we truly believe, we must look ahead to see the long-term effects of compromise in our lives and in those and things that we watch or listen to. And then we need this. We need unusual strength. Hallelujah. And that only strength comes from the Holy Ghost. How many believe that you need to walk in the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. Walking in the Spirit. See, when we are saved, redeemed, the Holy Spirit came to seal us as children of God. And so God is saying this to us. He's saying this in Ephesians, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Wow, God's promised to save us all the way through thick and thin. And so how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Through a compromised life. That's how we grieve God. Yeah, I know your word says it, but you know, my flesh wants to do this, God. Have we been there before? Okay, just me. So this is why, but the helper, see, God is a helper. Yeah, he exposes things in our life, but he exposes them to say, okay, I showed you the error of your life. Now let me help you. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Huh? Oh, yes, he has to show. It's like going to a doctor. Let me examine you. Oh, okay, I found that's why you keep throwing up. Well, God shows us our sin, not to cast us into the lake of fire, but he comes to help us. Look at this, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you. Praise God. And then we have to have this. We have to have foresight. Foresight. What does foresight mean? That means you've read the Bible and you know how it ends. You know how it all is going to end. Jesus is coming back for his church. Can I get amen? And when he comes back for us, then he has to pour out judgment on an unbelieving world. Wow. Help us, God. Look at what it says here in the Word of God in Philippians 1, 9 through 10. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. So how do we become pure and blameless? Through the blood of the Lamb. By God's promises. By a faithful walk. Even with our shortcomings. Even with our failures. That's right. That's right. We're coming in for a close, my friends. We're coming in for a close. Let's look at that. What's the causes of compromise of our convictions? What are they? And what motivates us to do wrong, even know what's right? What are those things? Number one, this falls into, especially brand new Christians, fear of criticism. But be like Paul. What did Paul say? He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Can I get an amen? Amen, that's right. And a lot of times, what gets and hinders us in our compromise is fear of rejection. Don't be afraid of people that will reject you because of your faith. You know what? Little do they know, you're their lifeline. You're throwing out a life ring to them. Let them know, hey, you're on a boat that has topsided, and everyone around you has been eaten by sharks, and you're the next one. So grab on the life ring and let me pull you into the boat. Can I get an amen? It's as simple as that. Don't be afraid. Listen, I remember Evangelist Felipe Reyes. This is years ago when I was called to the pulpit ministry. He said, "When you're up here," he goes, "don't look at faces." Why? Because you're going to sometimes look at a face that looks like it has just rejected you. So all I do is scan. I just scan. That's all. I don't go, I just scan. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail. Can I get it? I'm just delivering the mail to you guys. Don't be mad at me. Look at this. But God tells us this. And we're going to close. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you in a reason for the hope that is in you." See, we have the hope of glory living inside of us. So they need to know what's inside of you that compels you to do now the things that you say the Bible says to do. It's the Word of God. God's glory living inside you. Look at this. "For everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ, they may be ashamed." Man, why am I calling them you loser? You know, they may look at you and do one of these. You needed God. I know that. You ever had someone say, "Oh, I'm glad you found God. You needed him." God will flip the script and they'll be ashamed of what they're saying to you.
That's right, Pastor. Amen.
"For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for good than for doing evil." Did you catch that? So stay good with God. See, keep your life honoring to him. Can I get amen? And God will see you through every situation of life. Praise God. And don't be afraid. Let me just say this. Don't be afraid of this. Don't be afraid of losing friends. Some of them were up to no good anyway. I saw a dear sister. I'm not going to say her name. Who was walking with God for a lot of years. And then I saw a Facebook photo in the midst of uncircumcised Philistines drinking it up. What happened here? They lost hope somewhere. They lost their path. And we in meekness need to restore them. We need to reach out and say, it's okay. God understands whatever you were going through. Now come back to the household of God.
Amen.
We can't condemn them.
No,
but it lets me know that God said in the last days that there was going to be an apostasy. In other words, you could be on fire for God, and then all of a sudden, you're not even walking with Him no more. You've gone back. You've gone back to live with the uncircumcised Philistines, the unbelievers. That's what that means. Listen, there's no more life back there. I hope you know that. They have no hope. They want to pull you down in their own misery. They're scornful. They'll mock God in front of you. How can you, knowing who God is, and then bleepity bleepy bleep out of their mouth, and then the word Jesus Christ comes out? That would, to me, that would be like nails on a chalkboard. Pray for them. Pray for them. Look at what God's word says right here. But what things were gained to me? This is Paul now. What things were gained to me? So look at the things that were gained to you in one time in your life. These I have counted lost for Christ. Did you catch what he's saying? Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Listen, Paul was the Hebrew of Hebrews. He was the attorney of the day. This guy was like so intellectual. This guy was influential in Jerusalem and throughout all Israel as an attorney. He was from the line of Benjamin. This guy had all the accolades. He had all the scholars. He had all the trophies. He had all the awards. But guess what? When he got saved, he said, you know what? I count all that as loss because I'm not taking that with me. He says, I'm taking God with me. Look at this. He said it best, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Wow. Wow. Where are you, my friends? Where are you? I leave you with these questions. Number one, look at this. What unwavering convictions do you have that govern your life? What are the things that you toss to and fro and say, oh, God, help me in this area, God. Help me get these. I don't want these things in my life no more, God. I want all that you have for me. Because Jesus' way is better. How many believe that it's better? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Number two, what conditions or situations might tempt you to compromise your standards? I told you, I just saw a dear friend compromised in a club. What happened? I my heart sank. What happened? But I didn't condemn her. I said, grace. God, show her more of your grace. Oh God, bring back the remembrance that she would turn back to her first love. Who was your first love? Jesus. That should be the number one love in your life is the Lord Jesus. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not fail you. Number three, how would a long-term perspective help you courageously stand firm in your convictions? Huh? What negative consequences might result from your compromise? I know one thing. If I went back to my old life, I would probably not live much longer. I know my heart couldn't take the things that I used to do. It would be a form of suicide in my life. I've got nothing but God now to look forward to. I got nothing but God in His return. I'm looking for that change to take place. I've been on the road a lot longer than most of you in here. And I know where my hope lies And it's in the faith that God has given me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, what are the long-term benefits of staying true to Christ and His Word? My friends, those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, I want to pray for you that are logged in right now. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. In our beautiful family that's here, Amazing Grace, we're going to join our faith together and pray for you right now. I believe some of you are struggling like all of us struggle in areas in our life. But yet, God has made a way. He has made a way of escape, that we can escape from these things that so easily beset us, and that you too would be able to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, before we sign off and say goodbye, pray this prayer of faith. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. Ask God that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And now I want to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with a heart of repentance and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and cry out in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is He worthy? Is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.